Radio Prague News.
Lithium extracted in the Czech Republic should be processed in the country according to an agreement between the Ministry of Industry and the Australian mining company. A Czech man has been sentenced to 17 years in prison in New Zealand for attempting to smuggle 20 kilograms of methamphetamine to the country. And Czech ice hockey veteran Jaromír Jágr has signed a one-year contract with the Canadian NHL club, the Calgary Flames. Lithium extracted in the Czech Republic near the German border at Cínovec should be processed in the country according to an agreement between the Ministry of Industry and the Australian mining company European Metals Holdings. Mining should begin in 2022, the agreement continues. European Metals says it is prepared to continue talks with the government about the precise processing and uses of lithium. Lithium is used in batteries and is a key component for electric cars and other uses. The Czech Republic is reckoned to have around 3% of the world's reserves. A Czech man has been sentenced to 17 years in prison in New Zealand for attempting to smuggle 20 kilograms of methamphetamine to the country, the local daily The Staff reported on Tuesday. The 42-year-old Czech and his mother were arrested in May 2016 at the airport in Auckland, where they arrived on a flight from Thailand. The drugs with a street value of up to $20 million were discovered in secret compartments in their luggage. Charges against the mother were dropped after the investigation showed she had no knowledge of the drugs. The Czech economy grew annually by 4.7% in the second quarter of this year, the Czech Statistical Office said on Tuesday, confirming preliminary figures released in early September. Analysts say this was the fastest tempo of growth since the end of 2015 and the biggest quarter-to-quarter growth recorded over the past 20 years. According to experts, manufacturing industry, especially car production, was the major factor behind the growth. The Czech Bishops' Conference has urged Czech citizens to vote in the upcoming parliamentary elections. According to the bishops, not taking part in the vote is not a correct Christian attitude. In the appeal published on Tuesday, the Czech Bishops' Conference has called on people to reject intolerance and warned them against succumbing to false election promises. Czech ice hockey veteran Jaromír Jágr has signed a one-year contract with the Canadian NHL club, the Calgary Flames. The deal comes on the eve of the start of the new season. Jágr, who is 45, has been for weeks seeking a new team as a free agent after his former contract with the Florida Panthers was not extended at the end of last season. The new deal could allow Jágr to set a new record for NHL league starts. And finally, a quick look at the weather. Wednesday is expected to be mostly cloudy with occasional showers and daytime temperatures ranging between 11 and 15 degrees Celsius. I'm Ruth Vraňková and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up in today's programme, some of Prague's teenage babies come down for renovation. We get to grips with what could be a new and possibly hot potato, and we spotlight a woman's crusade against waste. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The sculptures of babies gracing one of Prague's dominant landmarks, the Žižkov TV Tower, are coming down for maintenance. The fiberglass babies, which helped to improve the public perception of the once-hated tower, are now 16 and in need of renovation. Daniela Lazareva reports.
Onlookers grouped around Prague's tallest tower crane their necks as they watch high-rise workmen struggle with a gruelling task of cutting off one baby after another from the body of the Žižkov Tower and carefully lowering the 120-kilo sculptures down to the ground. The babies, as they are known, were installed in the year 2000 within the project Prague European City of Culture. A year later, they returned as a permanent installation and gradually helped soften the perception of the once hated tower, which people had nicknamed Baikonur and Yakesh's warning finger, references to the Kazakhstan Cosmodrome and the last leader of communist Czechoslovakia. Michal Zelenka, the tower's administrator, says the babies by contemporary artist David Černý did the tower a great service.
I think the artwork made the tower more human. It looks much better with the babies. Before, it was just a grey, nondescript tower.
Among the people watching the workmen bring down the black babies is their maker, artist David Černý, who has a number of provocative works around Prague, including a statue of St. Wenceslas riding a dead horse in Lucerna Passage and a statue of Sigmund Freud hanging by one hand in Prague's old town. He says he is curious to see how the sculptures withstood the test of time.
Of course, they will all get a new coat of paint, but that's not the main concern. What we really need to know is what the inner construction of the statues now looks like.
The reconstruction work on the 10 statues is expected to cost around 1 million crowns, and the expenditures will be covered by Czech Radio and Telecommunications, which owns the tower. How long the procedure may take depends on the extent of the work that will need to be done. According to the head of the Radio and Telecommunications Authority, Martin Gebauer, the babies should be back in the spring of next year, at the latest. Whether they will be back in their original place or whether the artist will decide to move them around a bit is not yet clear.
Daniela Lazareva with that report on those famous and very large babies. The Potato Research Institute based in the town of Havlíčkův Brod has announced that it's managed to cultivate a new potato variety known as the Val Blue, which is characterised by a striking blue-purple colour. Dominic Yoon investigates.
This isn't the first time the Potato Research Institute, which has existed since 1923, has come up with an unusual variety of potato. In 2005, researchers there announced the arrival of the Valfi potato, bred from a variety known as the British Columbia Blue. The Valfi was characterized by marbled, purple flesh and an almost black skin. Dr. Yaroslava Domkazova is a geneticist at the Potato Research Institute. She explained the significance of coloured potatoes such as the Valfi and the Val Blue.
Blue potatoes contain higher amounts of anthocyanin pigments, and that means they have about 20 to 30% higher levels of antioxidants than potatoes with a yellow or white flesh. The Val Blue variety, which we registered this year, is in part an offspring of the first Valfi potato variety from 2005.
The process of creating new potato varieties is one of the missions of the Potato Research Institute. The institution specializes in potato-related genetic cultivation, research and studies, and also offers advice to fellow potato growers. But, noted Domkazova, creating a potato like the Val Blue is far from an easy process.
Cultivating any new potato variety is a long and complicated process. It can take between 10 and 12 years to develop such strains, and these types of blue-colored potatoes are even more difficult because when we want to create a table variety suitable for human consumption, then it is very hard to make the potato meet all the nutritional criteria that we are used to here in Central Europe. We already have very high-quality varieties of white and yellow potato here, and these blue ones tend to have a more spicy and distinctive taste.
The institute will now grow a small crop of the Val Blue at its own facilities, gradually cultivating greater amounts of the potato, which will then be made commercially available to other growers.
Dominic Kuhn there on the likely debut of the Val Blue on the potato scene. And now we go over to Ruud Frankova for this week's feature, which focuses on moves to cut the waste Czechs produce.
According to EU statistics, Czechs are some of the best in Europe for separating communal waste, including paper, plastic and milk cartons. But when it comes to recycling and minimizing the amount of waste we produce, there is still a long way to go, says Sonja Jonášová of the Institute of Circular Economy. For several years now, her institute has been helping Czech municipalities and businesses to move from linear to circular economy by adopting at least some of its key elements.
We have to actually prioritize regenerative resources, which means both energies and materials should be coming from renewable or reusable or non-toxic materials. And secondly, they have to be designed to maximize long life, to be reusable or recyclable or repairable after the time we use them. Because if it's not happening, we are producing waste. And if we create something, the second thing we have to keep in mind is to try to do our best to preserve and extend the lifetime of the usage. And it's not really happening nowadays. So that's something that we have to keep in mind to be able to rotate those materials in a circle as long as possible. But if we do produce any waste, we have to think a bit in a disruptive way and not perceive waste as waste, but as something that can be used again, which means we can create new business models or we can create new products.
How did you yourself become acquainted with the notion of circular economy and to promote it as part of your career?
Well, I was studying abroad and I was very surprised how many times we were discussing at the university about sustainability, about waste as a resource, about self-sufficiency of farms or businesses. And I thought that it just makes sense to do it in this way. And even though many people think that ecology and agroecology, it's kind of alternative system, I think that it's just the right way how to do it. So I was studying agriculture, and from that field, I just jumped to technical cycles, and now we are talking about waste and recycling, but the principles are still the same. We have to keep the value circulating within society, and I mean the value of materials, but also those principles, thanks to which we can just close the cycle. That's something that was working for ages, and we just started to make it linear, but it's not going to work like this. So that's why I decided to start with promoting circular economy principles, and I was talking to people and asking for their opinion, and I just realized that it makes sense to all of us, basically.
And so you actually decided to establish the Institute of Circular Economy here in the Czech Republic and now also in Slovakia. There is also a subsidiary. What are your main aims?
I'm always saying that we have kind of three pillars. And the first one is education. We have to spread awareness, explain what is circular economy about, and we have wide target groups, from citizens to companies to municipalities. So we organize different stakeholder meetings, conferences, seminars, or just publicly speaking about this topic. But the second pillar, if you would like to put something in practice, you have to help to companies or to municipalities with this new process. So we help them to make space for circular economy within their business or within everyday life, which means provide consultancy or help them to set up strategy for this implementation to really make it as practical as possible. And the third pillar is about cooperation. And I think that is a key element for circular economy being implemented here in Czech Republic. So we discuss with different stakeholders and we try to find a way how we can cooperate in order to really close the cycle.
Czechs are said to be very good at recycling. Would you agree with that?
Well, I see one difference between recycling and waste separation. What we know how to do is waste separation, which means that you, at home, you separate your waste. You see what is paper, glass, plastics, but you do not recycle. You can recycle organic waste if you do composting. So you can really recycle that materials, put them back to the soil and grow your own food. That means recycling, closing the cycle. But with other materials, we do not recycle. It's something that is done by different companies and we need technology for that. And that's something that we are not very good in it. And for example, in plastics, still we recycle just around 30% or 40%. And it's the same for the whole European Union. But it's not a problem just of technologies, but it's a problem which is happening at the beginning and it's related to eco-design. Many products are not designed to be recycled. They are full of hazardous materials, toxic materials, and basically we cannot do anything else but at least use it for producing energy, for example. That's still better than landfilling.
One of your recent projects was to analyze communal waste in one of Prague's district, in Prague 7. What is this analysis good for and what have you discovered?
Every time when we start to cooperate with new municipality, we say that we have to go through their waste. Because every time it's totally different. It depends on heating system, for example. If you do not have central heating, you are probably using something to burn to get heat for your house, and those ashes are going to the waste. But sometimes, even if it's one city, different districts, they have different systems for separation, and if you would like to help them, and that was case for Prague 7, to make it more effective, you have to go to their waste to check it, to see what's in it. And in Prague 7, we've realized that there is a lot of organic waste in it, so after this analysis, we decided to start with supporting of home composting, and we asked people if it's a good idea for them, so anytime we do something, we first talk to people and talk to mayors or representatives of the municipality and ask if it's possible, if there are not any obstacles with implementation. And after that, we see whether there is possibility of home composting or different kind of waste collection. So first, we have to do analysis. And at the end, in case of Prague 7, then we started with home composting and some other pilot projects.
Prague 7 is pretty progressive, I would say, but what about other municipalities, smaller towns or villages around the Czech Republic? Are they interested in reducing the amount of waste and implementing at least some of the elements of circular economy?
Yes, they are. I was also very surprised because I was told that when we were starting with our institute that it will be very hard to persuade people to do something, but it's not. It's basically very easy because if you have mixed communal waste, you have to pay for it. But once you separate those kind of materials that can be recycled and you can get money from it. They are also interested in opening new reuse centers or any kind of additional activities where people can bring something that can be reused by other people because it means that you are supporting, for example, a community of people with low income and those materials are not going to your waste, you're not paying for that and you are helping environment, you are helping people and it actually saves your money.
So would you say that Czechs are willing to adopt more sustainable lifestyle as long as they have the conditions to do so?
Yes, definitely. I have many personal experiences with talking to people and explaining a new system of waste collection. And at the end, when we are talking a lot about money, about the budget of the municipality and explaining why waste is such a big problem if it's not separated. And we also explained how is it related to environment around them and what does it mean if we landfill our waste, that we are losing resources, energy, and also we are polluting environment. At the end, they are just going home and saying, well, that makes sense, and now I know it, so why wouldn't I do that? And I'm pretty sure if we will be stronger with explaining and with having support from media to talk about that, they will believe in it and they will do that.
You were talking about landfills. Is this a big problem in the Czech Republic?
Landfilling in general, it's a big problem. And the biggest problem is that it's very cheap in Czech Republic. We pay less for landfilling than for incineration. So if we talk about business case, why would you look for some more environmental ways how to treat your waste if the landfilling is so cheap? So that's something that we would like to change definitely through the new waste legislation, because methane is produced once organic waste goes to landfill, and methane is 23 times more aggressive greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. And also some landfills are not very good isolated, so there is leaking going to the groundwater, and also plastics are just flying around. And if you go to landfill, you just basically see from the first sight that it's not right way how to treat our waste, and it's like a bomb waiting for the future. So that's something that we have to stop.
The European Commission recently approved a so-called circular economy package to help businesses and consumers to ease the transition from linear to circular economy. How long do you think this process will take? And are you optimistic that it will actually happen?
I'm very optimistic in adopting circular economy principles in general, because even if we wouldn't have support from EU or from a national legislation, we can still do that, and we will be creating new value or new business models, and we will earn more money because we will be more resilient. And for example, big companies like IKEA and others are already implementing those principles, which means that it makes sense. But thanks to European Commission, we have kind of support for everything we do, and that's something that proves that what we are doing is right way.
Sonia Yonasheva, ending that feature by Ruth Frankova. If you've any comments about today's programme, favourable or not so favourable, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be extremely happy to hear from you. But from me, Chris Johnston, thanks for joining us, and goodbye.